Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello, Geekscapists. It is I, Incelbot, and I am hacking into your...
Not so fast, Incelbot. Geekscape is now sponsored by NordVPN. That's right. We're now using the same encryption technology recommended by the NSA. And with NordVPN's amazing speeds and thousands of servers around the world, we'll never miss out on Geekscape podcasts or any of our favorite streaming services, games, or shows.
Unacceptable.
It's very acceptable, actually. Geekscapists, unlock your own exclusive NordVPN deal by visiting nordvpn.com/geekscape or by using the offer code Geekscape at checkout. You'll unlock a huge discount on your NordVPN plan, free threat protection, and one additional month completely free. And if you're not happy, Nord's got a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just remember to use the code Geekscape on checkout. Anything else you want to add, Incelbot?
Now, you win again.
Yeah, I thought so. All right, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. And you're like, wait a minute, he jump cut. Yep, there was an ad at the beginning of the show. There's a lot of cool stuff happening in the Geekscape verse. Beyond sponsorships, we are moving to a brand new platform called Megaphone. That's where we're going to host all the shows on the Geekscape network. You're probably not going to notice, if I do my job, you're probably not going to notice a change or a difference. It might just be me flipping a switch. I've already migrated all the past 15 plus years of Geekscape over to Megaphone. I just got to really flip the RSS feeds. But I do want to let y'all know about that, because if anything weird happens in the switch, go ahead and email me, jonathan@geekscape.net, and be like, hey, the RSS feed's acting wonky, or I'm getting double episodes, or whatever happens between now and the next week when I flip the switch over to Megaphone. Just let us know. You're probably going to hear some more ads on Geekscape in the future, but that's just growing pains. Geekscape's been doing really great the last couple of years, and it's allowed us to move to a bigger platform, add shows. We're going to be talking about that later today on the show. We've got Katie on here. She's launching a brand new podcast on the Geekscape network. It actually launched today. If you're watching this live on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, or maybe on LinkedIn while you're dishing out those resumes, then you can go to your podcast app right now and go ahead and check out the Black and White podcast. Katie hosts it along with a brand new Geekscape host named Marie Brand. We're really happy to have her on the network. So there's a lot to catch up on, and who better to help us weed through all the news beyond Geek Week starting up on Netflix? I guess that's a thing, and I'm excited about it because we got Umbrella Academy and a bunch of stuff coming. New Obi-Wan episodes, Strange New World still rocks. What else we got? Oh, yeah, I finally watched all 7 episodes at the beginning of season 4 of Strange New Things. I think I'm doing that math right. There's just a lot to talk about, and our good friend Jason Inman, who's one of our favorites, is here to help us weed through all that. So I'm not going to delay. I'm just going to say, yay, let's get Geekscape in front of your face. Here we go, Geekscapists. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. All right, Geekscapists, we're here on a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm glad you all are joining me. It's a Monday night. And yeah, as you heard at the top of the show, Geekscape has a brand new sponsorship for the month. It is NordVPN. So go to nordvpn.com/Geekscape, and they've got all sorts of deals and discounts, including an additional month free on a deal. Use that Geekscape on the checkout, and they'll hook you up. If you don't like it, you got 30 days to cancel. It's all good. I'm actually using NordVPN right now to secure this internet connection, to make sure that we are streaming securely and all that. Okay. I the tech stuff, let's just be clear. Y'all who've been with me for 15 years, you know, it's not my strong suit, but I do trust those folks, and they're really nice. So welcome, NordVPN, as sponsors of the show. All right, Katie, speaking of somebody who's dealt with me a lot, here she is, my co-host, Katie. Katie Hampton, as I have to get used to calling you.
You're going to have to do it. Yeah, because I'm switching it over professionally, so it's easier to pronounce.
Yeah, I never really got the hang of Elsisser.
No one does. No one does. That's why El Sassy Pants was the best you could do.
Oh, yeah, no. but Katie Hampton, I think I can figure that out. So far, so bad. Yeah, we got it. You know, it's like our switch to megaphone. It's one day we're just going to be all over there and doing our thing. Actually, are you already on megaphone with this brand new black and white podcast?
Great question that I'm sure that Matt Kelly could answer in the comments section right now. I kind of have just been like, I'm going to produce things, send it off to you, and then could you please do all the other stuff, because my brain can't go that far.
Well, that's what Matt does for us. We're glad he's here. And Matt Kelly says, I love that ad. Well, I'm glad you love the ad for the Nord folks. It was fun making it, except I had to put up with Incel Bot. He is very intrusive, but I'm glad that we have an easy solution, one-click solution for getting rid of him.
I find it interesting that Incel Bot went British recently.
Incel Bot is a chameleon. He will use any way he can to try and infiltrate your digital life and exploit it. So Matt Kelly is reporting, but check this out, Katie.
Okay.
He reports that he will be transitioning you this week. Since you only have one released episode, it'll be the easiest one to do. We're live on there now. Any podcast on the network can start bringing their content over. I don't know why we didn't just start you on it. Who knows? It'd be a nice way to familiarize yourself or himself with it. So Geekscape is, again, what I reiterated at the beginning. I'd like to say, if anything weird happens with the feed in the next week,
report it.
Yeah, please. Jonathan at Geekscape.net. Be like, hey, there's double episodes, missing episodes, stuff like that. I'm actually going through like 15 years of content. One episode at a time, and checking that there were double episodes in the feed. The feed had some really wonky stuff. I used to like update the feed manually using HTML. Like, that's how long I've been doing this podcast. The way you used to do XML feeds was you open them in a text editing program and edit the HTML and upload it to your own servers. And it was, I did that, I think, longer than I needed to, you know.
That sounds like a blast.
Yeah, you know what?
Sounds like super easy, a really short time to do, you know.
Super annoying, and all sorts of errors ended up sprouting up over the years that I'm now getting a chance to correct with our good friends over at Megaphone. Big Ink says, Incel Bot was bouncing around different servers to find you. He just happened to be on one of the UK ones. We put an end to that. That's all I know is how we put an end to that. And Katie, you have this brand new podcast on the network. What can you tell me about it before we bring our good friend Jason Niman in?
It's called the Black and White Podcast. My friend Marie and I, we used to work at a company together, and we always had really great deep conversations about current events, things going on in our lives, all that stuff. And when we were both laid off at the same time, we were like, you know what? Let's just record these. Let's record these conversations and put them out in the world, and maybe someone can find some value from them. If not, that's okay. We're just another podcast. Otherwise, we have some pretty crazy fun stories. please feel free to send us an email on my website, katieelsisser.com, and we'll read it aloud on the podcast. But it's a fun thing. We've got a nice little situation towards the end of most of the podcast where we call it But Her Emails, though, and it's all the insane messages that I end up getting on my website. But yes, it's a fun time. We talk a lot. We're actually probably going to get our first guest in the next couple of weeks coming on, and we talk about current events. We talk about the differences between the black and white perspectives. We talk the gamut of things. And yeah, it's a fun time. We go raw. We go very deep and raw.
Now, you and I, why do we not have that relationship where we go deep, we go raw? Mm. Well, what's going on there, Katie? We've been friends for a very long time. Why do we not have the relationship where we do the real talk? Well, why not?
London, you're a hard exterior to crack to get into the juicy center. You put up a nice facade, sir. But as someone who is a big proponent of therapy and just talking it real, that's what Maria and I do on that podcast. So.
I'm in therapy every week, too.
Good. I'm so glad.
Yeah, it's amazing. Different therapists every week. They quit.
Oh.
Every time.
BetterHelp.com.
You know, the last one almost made it an hour.
Oh.
And yeah, I said, is that an open window behind? Wait, no, don't do that. That was last week's therapist.
Man.
Yeah, I drive them a little nuts.
That's but, weird.
You know, you and I can have those conversations, Katie. We can get real. Don't worry about that.
It's true.
I'm not afraid of that.
Good. Yeah, I like
I'm in therapy.
I'd say being a geek for therapy is a fun thing, man.
Okay.
All right. You can learn.
I'm excited to listen to this black and white podcast with you. And I'm excited to actually have Marie on the network. So
yeah.
Speaking of somebody who has deep conversations with me, very much so, you know, I went to his birthday dinner on Friday. Yeah, it was a surprise. His face sank so fast when he saw me show up.
No!
It was Heidi and I and Ashley Robinson and this man right here, Jason Inman, who we love. And we went to dinner to celebrate his birthday.
It sank so fast because my Friday night plans were to flip on NordVPN and watch all of Toast of London because I would say that I was in the UK. And you can watch it for free on Channel 4. That's right. I did plug your sponsor.
Right. That was really creative how you went there. And also,
I do. That's the thing I do with NordVPN. I watch all the BBC's content for free.
So you can do that. You can pretend like you're in a different country using a different server, and then you watch.
Look,
their stuff.
During the pandemic, I will say that my guilty pleasure is The Amazing Race. Yes, I know it's an old person show, but I love watching The Amazing Race. And my wife and I caught up on all the American seasons. Well, what were we to do but find out that there is Amazing Race Canada, there's Amazing Race Australia. And with the help of NordVPN, we said, hey, we're in Australia, and we were able to watch all of it. We said, hey, we're in Canada, we were able to watch all of it. I have now watched every Amazing Race franchise that has ever existed. Thank you, pandemic. And also thank you, NordVPN.
But these have to be in English-speaking countries, because if you watch like Amazing Race Russia or something,
yeah, we didn't go that far. Yeah, we only went to the English-speaking ones. Yes.
Could you imagine Amazing Race Russia? Is that just Stranger Things season 4? But
I will say the thing you notice very quickly is that you notice that they all steal from each other. So you'll see the same challenge across international borders.
It's the same producers. Yeah. And why not? They probably have a handful of writers that just dish this stuff out. Matt Kelly says, I love that Jason is teaching Jonathan how to use the product that he's sponsored by.
Hey, you gotta learn somewhere.
I just want to sell that product out there. I not only am I, what do they say?
Not only are you a client.
I'm a user.
Whatever
that is. Yeah.
That being said, Matt, hold your horses, because I actually am a NordVPN user from way back when. Speaking of Russia, I used it when I went over to Crimea. Do you remember when I went to Crimea for 10 days to do comedy and work with students over there in summer of 2019?
That's what he says, but we all know he was running guns.
Yeah, right. I wasn't going to go over there and not use a VPN. I used NordVPN.
Brother Putin, what are we doing with all these other Ukrainians?
I went over there to fight a fucking demigorgon. I went over there. I wasn't going to go. That was my first time using a VPN, because I wasn't going to go to disputed Russia in Crimea, right? Is it Ukraine? Is it Russia? Who knows? But like, I wasn't going to go over there and not use a VPN because, you know, I was going to be talking trash on the internet. So there's that. So welcome to the party, NordVPN. This is what you signed up for. Can't wait for that sponsorship to about to get be revoked.
Hopefully
Jason,
not.
How has this new year of life been for you? I saw you on your birthday. That was fun.
Thank you for coming.
Do you still have any of that ice cream cake?
You have lots.
We have a lot of ice cream cake.
I was given a, it's specifically the birthday cake flavor of ice cream cake. It's from like Magpie Soft Serve. So it has like a nice frosting topping, ice cream cake flavored ice cream.
Ice cream.
And then like a nice cookie bottom.
Wait, hold up. Did you say ice cream flavored ice cream?
That's right. No. Birthday cake flavored ice cream. Apologies.
Okay.
Apologies.
No, it's all right.
Yeah.
It's all
right. It is like so much sugar that I'm enjoying the sugar coma that I go into every single night I eat a piece.
How big of a piece are you
using that for dessert?
What's that?
You're having it
for dessert every night.
Oh, of course I'm having it for dessert. Yeah. I mean, like, it just depends how gluttonous I want to be, Katie, basically.
Fair.
Some nights, very gluttonous. Some nights, like tonight, not so much.
Do you have half a human head's worth still?
Yes. Yes.
Wow, okay. That is a big cake.
It is a big cake. Oh, it was also like, it was a very expensive cake, but.
Well, for Magpies, yeah, that makes sense.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you know, like I said, like, God's bless my wife for, like, I, a couple weeks ago said, like, you know, it'd be awesome to have one of these. We've always talked about getting one. And then here it is on my birthday. So, like, it was the perfect present.
What if you cut into it and it's actually a human head encased in ice cream?
Well, then you just take their abilities and powers.
I was very happy to be able to attend your birthday dinner. And that was fun. But that look on your face when I walked in and you were like, this guy?
Yeah, I know.
Can't say it was the first time I'd seen it.
Every Comic-Con, right?
Every single Comic-Con. Speaking of Comic-Con, I started filling out all the forms to get our booth up and running, like the sales forms. There has to be like a height and variance form in case you want to like build anything crazy up and out of your booth, the allotted space. There has to be an adult materials form, which means that when you come to sign at the booth this year, Jason, no weird stuff. Okay. You got to keep your clothes on this time. All right.
Cause
I signed a form saying there's going to be no adult materials or nudity at our booth. All right. And that goes for Matt Kelly as well. I know he likes to get a little randy when it comes to attracting people onto the network.
It goes for me too. This is going to be like my first Comic-Con with you guys and I can't get nudie at the boothy.
No, you're wearing a burka.
Oh,
you're going to dress like Shane. You're going to dress like Shane in like a
like I'm going to be drunk the whole time or.
Yeah. Oh no. What do they wear? The Inuits wear up there like a.
Like an Eskimo, like a nice hood.
You can't call them that, Katie.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize.
Can't call them that. Oh, beautiful. I think that's. No.
Good to know.
But all right. Let's actually talk about some geek stuff now that we've caught you up on the going-ons here at Geekscape. I think we've all been watching this Obi-Wan Kenobi show. Shall we talk about the Obi-Wan Kenobi show?
I'm unfamiliar with this character. Who is this?
Y'all know this character, Obi-Wan Kenobi. So 3 episodes are out. We're halfway through the season. Is that correct? We have 6 episodes going on. We're halfway through the season. I got to ask, y'all down with this Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I am. I will just put it out there right now. I think it's really fun. I've been really enjoying it so far. I know that we've got some issues going on here, but I will just say outright, I'm a big fan. I've been enjoying the story, and I can't wait to see more.
I'll say this. You know, Obi-Wan Kenobi is my favorite Star Wars character, and I do think Ewan McGregor can read a phone book and make it interesting. So he is, in my opinion, doing a lot of heavy lifting. But I will say, like, if there's one thing I could say about this show, and I don't know if there was any other way we were going to avoid this. This show, I think, can be described in one word. Unnecessary. And I'm enjoying watching it. And it's cool to see the things in it. But also, when I think about it, I'm like, does this add anything to the Star Wars lore? But I could have said that about, I think, almost every Star Wars live action show thus far. It seems to be the eternal Disney Plus problem of does this add anything to the ongoing storyline? And the answer so far has been no. But I will say the of the Star Wars television shows so far, I am enjoying this one, I think, the most. And I'm putting that at the feet of Ewan McGregor, again, who can make a phone book interesting.
Yeah, I would say that I'm not enjoying it as much as The Mandalorian, the first two mm-hmm. seasons of Mandalorian, simply because I think Star Wars has a nostalgia problem. And
that's very
it goes back
so.
To the prequels. And I think the way that to get out of this stuff is new characters. And Mandalorian was a brand new character. Grogu, in a sense, was a brand new character. And those are characters whose fates are not determined already. And with the prequels, I really felt like you were just watching a ball and a string get pulled across and say, hey, okay, I know where the ball's going to end up. This is not necessarily fun. There's not a whole lot of surprises that are going to end up here. I feel like the series is roughly the same. Fantastic performances be damned. They just have a nostalgia problem. And I worry that now we have a babysitter's storyline in the same way that Mandalorian became a babysitting storyline. And if they're not careful, we're going to have baby Darth Maul getting transported across the galaxy in the next Disney Plus series. But I'd like to get back to characters who are original, unique. I know we're getting like a 12 episode Andor series at the end of the summer,
which looks great.
It does. He's going to meet a whole lot of people who are going to die. And I hope you care about him. But the strength of the show, and I think this goes to the, I mean, let's just talk about the racist criticism that was going
with
on
Moses
about,
Ingram.
With Moses Ingram.
Yeah.
Moses Ingram might be the most interesting part of this show just because you don't know her fate. At least, I don't think we know her fate, does she? She's not a character from Rebels.
The Inquisitors aren't necessarily. Yeah.
I will say that in the Fallen Order game, the Seven Sisters were introduced. And I don't know if anybody's played that game. It's fantastic, and they're coming out with a second one. Should be great. But
it's a speeder bike chase going right past my window.
Oh.
I think three of the Seven Sisters are on there. That's pretty cool.
Is the third there?
Yeah, I'm down with the Moses Ingram storyline just because, again, you don't know if... I believe, here's a theory, I believe she was one of the younglings. I believe that the Inquisitors took her in and converted her. I think we're going to see her conflicted loyalties start to turn her maybe back away from the dark side towards something else. And I'm looking forward to that every week because that's a new character whose fate I don't know. And the more we can stay away from that stuff in the Star Wars universe and the Marvel universe while we're at it, obviously we don't know the future of the Marvel universe of those characters, but with Star Wars we do. And I just think we need to steer way clear of those in the future. And I don't think Disney's going to do it.
Now, here's a question. If there were material available in a comic, a book, or a game that did tell you the ending before the show releases the ending of her story, would you play it, read it, watch it, whatever?
I think gameplay is, I mean, when it comes down to video games, I think ultimately gameplay is the deciding factor on that. If it's okay. fun, and I would be really into that. I like the idea that they're doing a Tales of the Jedi 1,000 years prior to any of those events. Those are characters you can get invested in, and you don't necessarily know their fates. But wow, what I've loved for Star Wars Celebration to hear anything about the Taika Waititi series and to hear that it is as far from anything in the Skywalker saga as possible. That would have been really cool. I want something weird. I want some real cool, weird aliens and stuff that you can invest in.
Yeah, what was that? Do you remember, like, before Lucas sold Star Wars to Disney, there was that big announcement about, was it, like, 1313 or 3131? Right. And they were going to do this, like, it was going to be a video game, it was going to be a show, it was going to be a comic book. And I remember being really excited about it because at the time, they were really advertising this as, like, this is, like, dark crime bounty hunter Star Wars. Like, this is a corner of Coruscant that nobody has seen.
Based all on Tatooine.
Exactly.
And either it was Coruscant or we actually got to see Nar Shada, the smuggler's moon.
Yeah,
but I remember that animatic where you actually see a lot of stuff, and it feels like Fallen Order. It feels mm-hmm. like those that third person type of gameplay. But it was awesome. And our friend Craig Derrick was actually in charge of 1313. And, you know, he's told me some things about what happened with that game, and it kind of led into just the sale to Disney, and I don't know how much to share. I will just say that Craig Derrick is the project lead on the last several Monkey Island games, and you should be playing Monkey Island. But the stuff that I've heard about the 1313 and the transition there and how George would come in and give notes, it was time for new voices. And I think, and I still feel that way about Star Wars. Now that we're at Disney and we have infinite resources to make these things and they look so cool and these Disney Plus shows look great. They have the best actors. They have some amazing talent behind the camera. I think it's time for new voices as far as the characters go.
I think
and really bring back that sense of risk. And I mean, there's no sense of risk in this movie.
Well, and
in this series,
I also think there's another problem with Obi-Wan, and it's a problem that it's the same problem I had with The Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett is that
the chase scenes.
Well, that and we can go out about talking about the bad actual video editing. But I was gonna say, like, a lot of this modern Star Wars have been a cake that is all frosting but no cake.
Ooh.
Like, the minute
you're
still
eating that every night, though.
Yes, and I love it. I'm gonna keep eating it every night. But at least there's a cake underneath my frosting. Obi-Wan Kenobi, when you think about it, right? Like, what is the story they're telling here? I mean,
get off my lawn would be cool.
The, you know, transition kind of to Alec Guinness.
Well, exactly. But we know that he's going to do it. Like, we know that he's going to learn the because we've already seen it. So in terms of, like, taking the risk, there is no risk here because, again, we know that he's going to do it. We know Leia's going back to Alderaan. We know Darth Vader is not going to kill Obi-Wan. We know the only excitement is what Jonathan was saying, the third sister, because we literally don't know what is going to happen to that character. I assume they're all going to die. I assume every Inquisitor is going to die.
But it is interesting what her journey is going to be, especially with sort of the themes that they seem to be writing on.
If this is a problem that started with the prequels. Ultimately, we went into the prequels thinking that we knew the relationships between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin. And when we got introduced to Qui-Gon, he was at a risk for dying. Obviously, we knew that Padme was going to die because that was the story that we knew. And the problem was that those stories played out over three movies exactly as we predicted them to be. And we're told they were. There was no actual surprise. And I think that it's like we didn't even get to know Anakin's mother enough to feel that loss when she was killed. And it's like, okay, well, sure, Hayden Christensen's a really great actor, and I think anybody who's seen Shattered Glass or Life as a House knows that the guy's a phenomenal actor, but the writing I didn't think was there, and saying, hey, he lost his mother, we didn't really know the mother that much, so it wasn't a loss for the audience, and the audience has to be on the same wavelength as the character in order to feel that way. But knowing that we did know Obi-Wan, knowing that we did know Anakin, can you imagine, like, I remember being a kid, and it went over my head because I was too young. But, I mean, as a child in the 80s, everything was Luke, I'm your father. And just how you just heard about how the audience was shook whenever Darth Vader, and I know I botched the phrase because that's not the exact quote, but whenever Vader reveals that he's Luke's father, the entire audience went nuts. There was an opportunity in that first trilogy to think that you knew the relationship between Anakin and Obi-Wan and then Padme. And there was an opportunity to flip that on its head, and he didn't do it. There was an opportunity to say, hey, this wasn't just a love story. It was a love triangle, and it was a betrayal by Obi-Wan. And Obi-Wan's the actual one who, if he would have just figured, been a better friend or a better Jedi, he would have not turned Anakin. And yeah, it is actually Obi-Wan's fault that Anakin went to the dark side, because he created a relationship with Padme that was not allowed by the Jedi Senate. It was condoned, and dude did it. They fell in love together, and Anakin was forced to go edgelord on them and incel on them, and it's absolutely Obi-Wan's fault that he's Darth Vader.
But
like, that would have been insanity.
How beautiful is it that Ewan is creating this, like you can feel the pain that he feels in knowing
he's good.
That yeah, just is it, like, you don't even have to have needed to see that entire interaction. I will say something that I don't think I've publicly said ever, but I never saw Revenge of the Sith. I've only seen clips of it.
Oh, you've never seen the entire movie?
Not the entire movie. I don't know. I don't know if I like fell asleep during the first watch or I just did.
I know I did.
The prequels, like, I was a kid when like the first prequel came out, but I was really excited because I was like, oh, cool. And then I saw the second one and I think I just fell off and I was like, I don't know, prequels. It was at that time that it wasn't widely accepted. These are bad movies or whatever. Like, people were just kind of like hush hush about
they
it.
Were.
The older kids like me, we knew when we walked out of those movies that they were bad movies.
But my generation was all for them, and I was just like, I feel like I need to like step back and not say anything. But it was funny because Mark was saying something about Revenge of the Sith and like interactions between Anakin and Obi, and I was just like, this doesn't ring a bell. And then I realized, I was like, oh my God, I don't think I've seen Revenge of the Sith.
So did the recap at the beginning of this show, like that actually four very recap, helpful. Did that help you? Okay.
It was very helpful.
Speaking of helpful, our good buddy Big Yanks, who's our big Star Wars sycophant, said, hey, we actually do know the third sister's fate because this show, Obi-Wan Kenobi, actually takes place before Rebels, as I thought it maybe did. So, yeah, Disney's got nothing. They're just bringing us characters whose fate we know the end of. And let's just get some new stuff. Here's an idea. New stuff? New characters?
Would be great. That's what I was excited with.
New characters.
Yeah, right. I was excited with Mando because it was like, we're not following a Jedi theme. We're not following any kind of religion. But, you know, then we have the Mandalorian religion. And I felt like there was a lot of fluff after that first episode that I was like, I was starting to get a little bit sleepy on the premise. If
Luke had just shown up on that season two ending and never come back, I would have been like, cool. I have no idea where this is going to go.
Fantastic reveal. Yeah. No, that was really cool.
One and done, babies. Wait a minute. Big Yanks, hold up. You say correction. I double checked. I'm kind of wrong.
Uh-oh.
Brother, look, I'm trying to do a show here.
I didn't want to correct your fan and nerdgasm, but I was going to be like, yeah, I literally Googled it while we were talking on this podcast, and the third sister's fate is unknown.
Okay, I'm back in. I'm back in.
It's unknown.
I'm back in.
Unknown.
I'll watch the rest of it. I was always going to watch the rest of it.
I think Daniel might be mentioning the Grand Inquisitor, who is also on Rebels, who they somehow killed in this episode. But you know.
Right, which was confusing.
No, they stabbed him.
They did stab him. We didn't know whether or not he's actually, yeah.
The big thing I've seen online is people are saying that this might not be the same Grand Inquisitor that we see in Rebels, even though it's the same species and he has the same tattoos.
Yeah. That's the same dude. And I thought he was.
It's the same dude.
That's interesting. I love that we said that we're going to be spoiler free.
Oh, sorry.
Like Tobey Maguire Spider-Man says at the end of No Way Home, yeah, I've been stabbed before.
Yeah, exactly.
we good. We good.
Look, Darth Vader is in Skywalker. Spoilers.
What have you done? You're the true villain here, Jason.
Captain Pike goes to Talos IV. Spoilers.
Okay.
Fun fact: they digitally recreated James Earl Jones's voice.
That wasn't AI actually James Earl Jones. It was AI.
So it wasn't. No. So James is a little bit older. So it's a mix. It's a mix of his voice. It's also a mix of Hayden's voice, and it's a mix of his Empire voice, I think.
And just a little bit of Charo in there as well.
A little bit of Charo, yep, so.
Well, I will say that I thought he sounded good. I thought the new Darth Vader, the not newish Darth Vader voice sounded good.
He sounded like Empire Vader, yeah.
Let's try and not spoil some Stranger Things, because we're getting some new episodes in July, but I watched this Stranger Things first seven episodes, I'm all caught up, and I gotta tell you, all I want is for the Duffer Brothers to take over the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise, because this is seven episodes of Nightmare on Elm Street style horror, and then other storylines that are not really as you know engaging, but the stuff where they are trying to get to the Upside Down and figure these things out, there's even a Robert Englund cameo. Like, this stuff was good. That felt like my favorite horror franchise, Nightmare on Elm Street, baby. I want the Duffer Brothers to do that. Or, as Jim Pagranelli told me in text, he's a Geekscape listener, he says, or have them do like some X-Men stuff.
Oh, that would be
because there's
cool.
Some Jean Grey stuff going on here, obviously with Eleven and all that.
I was just going to say, I love what they did with the season, but fair warning for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, like, they go harder this season than they have in the past. And I wasn't expecting that, and I had to look away at certain points. Just putting that out there.
I would say that the kid murder stuff going on in this season is brutal and disgusting. That being said, it's a horror show, so you got to be ready for that stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of really intense graphic imagery.
They put a little thing in the beginning of like, hey, just so you know, this might be a trigger warning for a lot of people.
You also get Eddie, and I think Eddie's the best character on TV right now.
Also a Brit.
Yeah, I'm into this guy. He's in. Matt Kelly says, oh, man, I'd be hard-pressed to think of people more talented with drone shots than the Duffer Brothers. Those shots are never not jaw-drippingly gorgeous and computer-generated in most places. I don't know what you're talking about, Matt, but, yeah, there's a lot of amazing CGI stuff.
He's like, I mean, you know, those upside down shots are nice and raw. Like, they do practical.
they actually went to hell. That's what they did.
Matt echoes my thoughts. He says, so long as it's not in Russia, it's a really good season. The Russia stuff was laggy, but you got to get through it.
I mean, yeah, I wasn't huge on that. But Jason, what'd you think of it?
I have not seen it. I don't watch spoiler. I don't watch Stranger Things. I apologize.
Yeah. Oh, so, no, that's
too scary.
Good.
Yes, it's too scary for me. I bowed out of Stranger Things in season one. I know I'm the weird outlier on that. I like Stranger Things when it was written by Stephen King.
The one thing that I will say about Stranger Things that is you just know what's going to happen, and they telegraph everything quite a bit. And you can't introduce like a light bright without knowing the light bright's going to be the linchpin to a major scene. And I'm just worried that the next two episodes and then season five is going to be like, oh, there's a Teddy Ruxpin. That won't be used to communicate with people later on and decode a message.
I just want a dot matrix message from the upside down. That's all I want.
It's be like, oh, look, a modem. Yeah, no, it's going to be like that where they're going to end up having to play Bozo the Clown's grand prize game to the death to like discover something. And then Captain Kangaroo is going to come in and the song's going to save them. I don't want to hear the Kate Bush song anymore. I know it's only been a week, but that Kate Bush song, I'm done.
I love it.
Done.
Yanks keeps messaging me memes and things with that song. And honestly, give me more because I love it. I think it's hilarious.
I'm running down and away from whatever hill that song continues to come on. So that's the hill I'm running on.
How beautiful is it that Kate Bush is now getting a resurgence as an 80s centric song when I don't think even in the 80s Kate Bush was like that big of a deal, which is really cool.
And I'm with you. I ran so far away. I think supposedly like Flock of Seagulls didn't sell as many copies in the 80s as they did when it was on Rock Band. So yeah. I like the resurgent stuff and I'm down with it. But if I was sitting next to Max in school and she was playing that song over and over again, she wouldn't have to worry about no Vegna. I'd be chopping her up.
This is a great no spoilers review.
Yeah. Okay. So listen.
So who's Darth Vader's father in Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Anakin. Yeah. Okay. Eddie Walker.
Does the third 11. Sister survive Stranger Things?
Several times.
Only
over.
Okay. During the campaign, not during the actual.
Got it. Yeah. Got it.
Matt Kelly says, I'm unsubscribing for the snark of London. Yeah, but we'll sit through Scott Rogers' monologues about the deterioration of the politics in the United States. 15 hours of a horror movie night. Okay, I see where your priorities are, Matt. It's an inner fight. It's an inner podcast fight here on the Geekscape Network now. But he started it. Did he? No, I started it 15 years ago. Okay, so that's Stranger Things. I wish it was stranger. Wish it was less predictable. I would like it to be stranger than Stranger Things.
I'm excited for the next two episodes that are coming out in July, just to get that conclusion. I thought it was a great way to end the series where they did. I felt like not only like I was breathing afterwards, but I was like, I'm excited to see what happens next.
And are these next two episodes extended as well? Like they're longer? So is it basically like two more movies and then it's done?
No. So after the two episodes that end this season, then we're going to get a fifth season, and I think that's the end. And I don't know how long those are going to be.
Oh, wow. I thought I thought this was the final season of Stranger Things. When's this thing going to end?
I don't think so.
When is Stranger Things going to finally kill Baby Yoda? Come on.
They need to kill him. No, it'll be fine. And you know what? Matt Kelly's back. He says, one of the most notable Kate Bush facts in the 80s, she was among the first artists played on MTV. But correct, Katie, she's bigger now than ever. Well, there's more people on the planet. So you can thank overpopulation, Kate Bush, for making you more popular now than you were in the 80s. There's a lot more of us here to enjoy your music.
I love the idea that like you create something so long ago and like, yes, you get some notoriety, you get some fame from it, but then it gets a resurgence later on because it was just used for a very iconic scene in a show that's a cult classic already. I think that's so cool. I love that. And especially as a creator ourselves, like I think that's promising.
Yeah, but we'll be dead.
Sure.
Yep. We can only hope.
Let's talk about the best show on TV. This is the best genre show on TV. It's Star Trek Strange New Worlds. I mean, all respect to the Obi-Wans and the Stranger Things and this and that, but if you're not watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds, and this comes from somebody who's not a Trekkie, as y'all know from listening to the podcast, this show rocks. It's so good. I'm a Trekkie now.
Yeah.
How is this happening?
If you were to
welcome to the club, Jonathan.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Oh, you got that's so I got, cool.
Oh, I have the comm badge right on the desk here. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Star Trek is my favorite franchise. Yeah.
You know, it was funny because my mom was very into Next Generation, and my aunt as well. She has a cat named Jean-Luc. facts.
I love it.
Yeah. And it was a nostalgic thing in that, like, it felt like all of the, like, the whooshing of the, like, the doors and just, like, sort of the muted tones of Next Gen was very familiar to me. I rewatched it as an adult and through the entire thing just because I was doing a thing with the bridge crew on VR, and it was a whole series. So I wanted to, like, make sure that I knew all of this stuff, and I fell in love with Next Generation because it has that nostalgic thing. It also has a beautiful way of just taking a story and kind of scientifically solving problems while making it its own genre. Each episode truly episodic while being serialized. I don't know if you guys would agree with that. And I feel like this show, as well as Lower Decks, are the first shows that are able to recreate that in, like, a very sincere way. And I'm very excited.
No, it's a great, like, Stranger Worlds is, like, a great, and I think part of the reason why it's so great is because it's so hard nowadays to find media, dramatic media that is positive. Because that's what this is, like you know, the difference between this and Obi-Wan is that, and you can make the argument that this is very similar to Obi-Wan, where it's like, we know where Captain Pike is going. Like, it was literally spoiled in 1967, what is going to happen to Captain Pike. And we know where Spock goes. We don't know where number one goes, and we don't know who a bunch of the other people go. But the difference is with this is that it is, one, it is positive, and then two, instead of just telling us a story that, you know, we know where Captain Pike's ultimate destiny is. Like, we know exactly where he's going to go.
And but he does, too.
They're winding enough into that to make you think, like, oh, there's a chance that he might break this destiny. There's a chance that he might get out of this. And I think that is the reason why I think this is resonating. I see more people talk about this show than Obi-Wan, than Stranger Things, than anything on the internet right now. I constantly am seeing tweets, like, every day where people are like, why is Strange New Worlds so damn good?
It just is. And, you know, it's just the actors, for one, are just phenomenal. They do a fantastic job. I think it's the sincerity and, like you were saying, the positivity. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be presented with these different, like, issues or, like, situations or dire circumstances, and instead of something like a Discovery or a Picard, like, it doesn't feel as dire. Like, it feels a little bit more safe in that they're like, we are going to work together and we are going to solve this as long as we do the right things, you know, in the right order, in the right way, whatever. But you finally get to a conclusion and it feels satisfying. Like, it doesn't feel like, oh, this is going to come back and, like, haunt us for the rest of the series, or, you know, like, it doesn't feel so dire, which is something I think, especially after becoming such a big fan of Ted Lasso, it's just something I just need right now to, like, have a little hope.
Yeah, the aspirational nature of the show is refreshing every week, you know. So I'm up for more of this stuff. I think that's something Brett Goldberg, the guy who from Ted Lasso, who plays Roy Kent. He was saying in an interview that he wants to create more aspirational and positive TV, and I think that we're in a place where we want it. Not to say that there's no place for the child murdering of Stranger Things, this is the show that I look forward to every week, and it's nobody's more surprised than I am. you know. And I think that we might get some fun aspirational stuff in Ms. Marvel next week when that hits. It's going to be crazy having a Star Wars show and a Marvel show on TV at the same time.
And a Star Trek show.
Premiering new episodes. And a Star Trek show. It's a good time to be a geek, folks.
Yeah, it is.
One thing that we've been getting teased about for a long time that we're finally going to get is Neil Gaiman's Sandman is finally upon us. They've been trying to make this show for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are finally getting a Neil Gaiman Sandman. Jason, you've read Sandman. You're super familiar with it. And you still have patience for DC. Tell us, from what you've seen, they launched a brand new teaser trailer today as part of Netflix's Geek Week. What is your take on what you're seeing compared to the books that we read in the early 90s? Because I do not have a refresher on Sandman. I remember reading these things as they came out.
Okay, so, well, that's the thing. First off, I would say that I've said for years that I've always thought that Sandman, like Watchmen, is almost unadaptable. Like, it is such singular as a comic book that I don't know if it will translate to live action. Now, I think Alan Heinberg is a good writer. I really do. I really trust him. And I know Neil Gaiman had a big piece in this. I will say, from what I saw today, it looks like the comic book. I saw several shots that I recognized from panels of the comic book. It'll be interesting because, as we know with Netflix and we know with the Stranger Things and the Obi-Wan and the streaming and stuff like that, they're obviously focusing on the Morpheusness of it and the idea that launches the original comic book, that Morpheus was captured. And because he's been captured for 75 years, I think it is, his whole kingdom and the dreaming is sort of in disarray. And I get the impression from this trailer that that's what the show is going to be. Now, anybody that's read Sandman, the comic book, you kind of know that that is really only the first six issues. And then the book really kind of becomes an anthology series where it's character of the week shows up and this is how Morpheus intersects their life. Now, that obviously doesn't really work for a TV show. It doesn't work for an ongoing narrative. So it's going to be interesting to see how this show. Maintains the tone of the comic book without going too far astray from the comic book. I mean, from what they showed, I'm excited, but I'm also apprehensive.
But if they introduce death in this, right? And you see the first season, they're introducing characters like death. They're introducing
his older brother, right?
His younger sister.
Younger sister. Oh, mm-hmm.
Wouldn't they be able to just say, hey, she's going to get the focus of the next season or the third season? And take that anthology aspect and make seasons out of it. Could this season that we're about to watch not be kind of the first season on Netflix? And then the subsequent seasons are those subsequent episodic pieces that follow those other characters a little bit more with Sandman, a little bit interacting. I mean, clearly we're not going to get Batman's cameo or Deadman's
sequence. Or Superman.
Right? But we're going to get at least the pantheon of the characters introduced in Sandman that were Sandman originated characters.
Are we getting Constantine?
We are. Okay, so here's an interesting thing about this. So John Constantine shows up in the Sandman. He only shows up in the first 20 issues before. The first 20 issues of DC's Sandman are really, you could tell that DC, this is pre-Vertigo. Vertigo Comics did not exist. And DC was we don't know about this weird, moody character, so let's have cameos from Superman and John Constantine and Swamp Thing. And then after that, the book sold pretty well, and they created Vertigo. Hot Topic started up.
And once Hot Topic was in the malls, it just wildfire.
So they separated it off, and the DC characters did not show up. Now, in this series, we're in a weird Warner Brothers snafu bit, and here's what's going on. John Constantine, for some reason, is locked up under this Justice League Dark movie that's been in developmental hell for years. That's the reason why John Constantine had to leave Legends of Tomorrow. So the way they're getting around it in this series is they're making the character, I think it's Joanna Constantine, and it's played by the actress that played Clara in Doctor Who.
Oh, cool.
Now, the interesting thing about that is in Sandman, there is a story in Sandman where they met Joanna Constantine, and she was John Constantine's 19th century ancestor. So what they're doing in this version is that they're going to have that character in the 19th century, but they're also going to have like a Johanna Constantine that's in the 20th century, and they're just going to have the same actress play both characters.
Whoa.
So, okay.
So I'm fine with it. It's an adaptation. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
You still have your original books, Geekscapists. Mm-hmm. You're still going to have them. So don't get too crazy. And yeah, no, there's a lot of Sandman. So
there is right. A lot.
My big hope on it is anybody that's read the Sandman comic books, you know that one of the really coolest ongoing storylines is every time Morpheus checks in with William Shakespeare. And if they do that, I will give this series a pass, because like that is my favorite storyline from the entire comic books. And I believe it's the storyline that won Sandman the Hugo, and it's Sandman's the only comic book to ever win a Hugo.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk video games real quick before we wrap up. And this is something that we were talking about. Yeah, Katie and I are held hostage on this thread, this chat, and I got to tell you, I started it. I wanted the Geekscapists to like talk amongst themselves, people involved in Geekscape, like Matt Kelly and Derek and Shane. And we added Big Yanks, and the second we added Big Yanks, this chat thread turned psychotic. Big Yanks, I don't know. I mean, I think he feels like the one that doesn't come to Comic-Con every summer. He's the most like detached from the group. So he makes up for it by chatting nonstop during the day. And we love Big Yanks, but I got to tell you, it is fun to hang out with these kids throughout the day. I definitely miss them. I'm looking forward to seeing them at Comic-Con. But one of the big pieces of news that we talked about today was the Limited Run Games panel. And I know that we're not getting E3 this year, but Limited Run Games, what they do really well is they bring back old retro games and they give them like special editions. And in the chat, what was I doing? Oh, I was cutting that ad you saw at the top of the show. as I was working on that ad, I looked down and there's 54 texts in the chat over the course of about an hour, and everybody's getting crazy between Big Yanks and Shane, mainly Shane. They're getting crazy about all the announcements they have coming on in these limited run games. Some of these are huge. The ones that I think are really cool for me are, I love that the Shadowrun trilogy is returning. It's going to be on PS4, Switch, and Xbox. That's this year. We're getting at Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2 on the Switch and PC this summer. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge is like a retro arcade style Ninja Turtles game. It's a brand new game. It's going to be great. And it's going to come with like an art booklet, sprite stickers, reversible cover. What I like about it is I love Turtles in Time. I love the original arcade
game.
Games
is so good.
Is like a fresh one. Yeah. And it's on PS4, PS5, Switch, Xbox. Here is one that completely took me by surprise. We're getting Doom 64, Doom Eternal. The one that took me by surprise was we're getting the 8-bit Bill and Ted's Excellent Retro Collection. There were 8-bit Bill and Ted games that we're getting retro versions of returned. We're getting, I said, Doom 64 and Doom Eternal. That's kind of cool. A lot of these are completely wrapped up in licensing. Blade Runner is getting the enhanced editions. I mentioned the Shadowrun games, which were some of my introductions to early top-down three-quarter PC gaming. This is the big one. Night Trap is coming to PS5 in July. Night Trap was that live-action game where you had to pick the rooms and there were vampires and the girls were running around in their 90s.
Oh,
and it got banned. It was like Tipper Gore's main game.
No,
for like banning video games, it was Night Trap. Remember
they
when
they brought that up in Congress? To
they did
to bring up like ratings on games. That's the
Night it was the why you would get a Sega CD was Sonic CD and playing these live action games were like Kirk Cameron's like in Sure Shark or whatever. You know, remember when like CD games like started out in the early 90s and it was like, oh my god, there's real Hollywood actors in them. So the late Dana Plato was the name of like the most famous actress in Night Trap, and she's having a sleepover. No, there's a sleepover, but the sleepover is getting infiltrated by vampires, and Dana Plato works for this agency that is trying to infiltrate and capture the vampires and know what's going on here. And she's the one that's always turning to the camera and be like, hey, follow me. You got to flip the switches to catch them. It's garbage. The game is not great, but was it super nostalgic to see it announced today as getting a special edition on the PS5? Yeah, I'll throw a couple couple spins on the Night Trap for sure.
You got that PS5 money?
No, I got to get that PS5 first. First yeah.
I still don't have that PS5 either.
But I mean, supposedly they're going to start coming out. I mean, the graphics card thing has been solved, right, Katie?
I wouldn't say solved. It's better. People are still gouging, but for the most part, they're producing more than they have been. But it's a lot of it's tied up with crypto stuff. And people.
Oh, great. Our favorite.
Yeah, our favorite conversation.
I love the crypto stuff. Yay. Oh, great.
Yeah, no, there's a video of like a bunch of tractors running over graphics processors in, I forget where in the world, because they're like to stop people from mining Bitcoin. And I was like, can I just have one for my computer so I can play my silly games?
I don't know anything about this, but I'm telling you, the PS5, I'm going to get a couple of those PS5 games. PS5 is the one I'm circling. That's the system I want.
Yeah. Are you going to ask for it for your wedding?
No.
Really?
But no, Johnny can get his own PS5. But that being said, I'm going to get that Night Trap game.
On my registry.
I'm going to get that Night Trap game so that I can. The Night Trap game, there's a scene, and I've talked about it on the show before. It's one of my favorite scenes from my childhood, is playing this Night Trap game and getting so far that the vampires have all come out. It's clearly there's a vampire infestation in this house. You can save the girls. If you don't save the girls, you end up dying and the game has to restart, right? So you this is how the game plays. You switch cameras and you have to catch these vampires when they're over these trap doors. And when you hit the button, the smoke comes out and the vampires fall through the trap doors and then you got a vampire, right? So the whole game is you have to be switching cameras to make sure that nobody's in danger and getting vamped. And you have to catch these vampires when they're going over the trap doors. As the game progresses, lots of vampires start pouring into this house. They're all actors and it's all live action. And that's exciting because you haven't seen that before. And it's 1992, but, if you get good, and young Jonathan got good, you get rewarded with like a bit of a respite scene where like you've just gone through like some really like high stress situation, switching cameras, catching vampires, and now the cavalry's coming and they're convinced that the vampires are a problem, and you have these dudes with machine guns swarming into this house, and they're like, something's going on, and I'm like, finally, I get some backup, these big guns. And one of the big guns is this big African-American actor. He's jacked as hell, and you're like, this is the end, this has to be the end, the vampires are toast now. And he's standing there and Dana Plato is trying to convince them the vampires are in the house, and this dude, the most famous line, maybe one of the most famous lines of my childhood, goes, "Vampires, you gotta be jamming me."
Gotta be jamming me.
Jamming. You gotta be jamming me. As soon as he says that, a vampire comes up behind him and kills him, and that's the. It was like Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones.
Right.
You think the whole tide is going to be turned in this sequence where the guys with guns show up and the good guys show up. They all start getting taken out within like 30 seconds. They get taken out, and you're like, no, this is turning bad. And now it's up to you to keep flipping those switches, flipping those cameras, and save the kids from vampires. And that was like Red Wedding to me when I was a kid. I was like, holy shit, all the good guys are here. This game is going to, this is the end. This is the end. And then all of a sudden the good guys are just getting wiped out by vampires. And I was like, oh no, there's still a lot of gameplay left in this. But it all turns on, you gotta be jamming.
You gotta be jamming me.
Vampires, you gotta be jamming me.
We gotta make that a shirt.
He gets pulled behind a couch and then he dies.
If you wanna see some really great behind the scenes stuff of that, High Score on Netflix is a great documentary about video games. In episode 5, I think it's episode 5, they talk about violence in video games and how it becomes like a congressional hearing. And they bring up Night Trap and scenes from it. And it's so campy and ridiculous that like, you wonder how games got to be as violent as they are with all this.
The whole thing. Yeah. I think Tipper Gore, Joe Lieberman were the ones bringing that in rap music to Congress and saying, we got to do something about this. Our kids are getting perverted by video games and rap music. So we got to put warning labels on everything. And Night Trap Night Trap actually got pulled. Night Trap as being the one that was like the big problem got pulled. But that is what's going on in video games. So Jonathan finally has justification for buying a PS5. He's going to play a game from 30 plus years ago. That's why I'm going to buy a PS5, is to play a game from 1992.
It seems like an appropriate use of resources.
Use of the money, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no other way I can play this game from like 1980 something.
Yeah, and I heard there's going to be a Sega CD mini coming out too.
Ooh. Of course.
In the same way there was a Genesis mini, I heard the Sega CD is getting it.
That's the one system I know everybody was jonesing for, the Sega CD.
I loved the Sega CD, but again, I loved it because of the live action games.
Give me a Dreamcast mini, you cowards.
Yeah, how great would that be? A Dreamcast mini would be cool. Well, Geekscapists, there's a lot of things we wish we had. And we, you know what? The future is untold, unlike the Star Wars characters. So what we're going to do is we're going to wrap the show. We're going to promote Katie's podcast, The Black and White
Podcast.
What's it called, Katie?
The Black and White Podcast.
Black and White Podcast. You got to go listen to it. Subscribe to it right now. Also, you should listen to this guy, Jason's podcast. What you got over there podcast-wise?
Geek History Lesson. Every single week, we break down one character, construct, or book in a little bit less than an hour. The last one we did was Obi-Wan Kenobi. So go listen to that. You know.
Okay.
I can promise you it's a podcast where nobody says it's Morbin time.
Weird. Oh.
I can promise that.
I don't know.
Have you all done Morbius on the podcast?
No, thank God.
Wait, why, but before he was perverted by this Jared Leto movie, like Morbius would have been okay.
No, we just never got around to it. It's the weird intersection of like, you know, we have 400 plus episodes, but sometimes you just never get around. There's certain characters you just never get around to.
I thought y'all picked a lot of the characters based on giant events coming, like Obi-Wan Kenobi.
We try to, but like sometimes movies sneak, like Morbius was one of those where just kept being pushed by the pandemic. So by the time it came out, we had already scheduled other episodes. We just couldn't grant to it.
No, that one needed a special. That needed a Morbius 2-hour special.
Well, you know, everybody's favorite character now. We'll see.
Well, I mean, Sony said he's a Marvel legend, so you need to respect that.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay.
But no Morbius episodes, but come over. It's on everywhere you can listen to podcasts. Geek History Lesson.
Okay. And this is Shane in Alaska. He says, Sega has said that Dreamcast Mini is on their radar.
Oh, wow. I hope so.
That'll be right. Fun. Geekscapers, let's keep Geekscape on the radar. Not just the Geekscape podcast, but we've got shows like Horror Movie Night, and we've got this new The Black and White podcast with Katie on it. Just search for Geekscape on any of your podcatchers. Search on the Geekscape website. We're going to have a brand new Geekscape website where you can see all of our shows in one place and be like, oh, wow, this looks like a reputable network instead of an imitation blog from 2010. We're working on a lot of things here. As I said at the top of the show, we're working on a lot of things. So just give us time. We've got many resources. What you got, Katie?
Is it going to be a .net or a .com? That's the ultimate
It will always
question.
Be a .net.
Okay.
Because we're a network.
There you go.
And you are helping that. Being our 21st show, I believe. So we're a network. We're not looking back.
We can drink now.
Geekscape is follow Geekscape on your social medias. And of course, thanks again to our partner, NordVPN. Go to nordvpn.com/Geekscape and use the offer code Geekscape for your discount, your extra month, and all sorts of cool stuff over at NordVPN. Like you can watch shows in other countries, like my good friend Jason does. All right. For Katie and Jason, this is Geekscape, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.